Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 13 in the NFL. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Train, alongside, as always, Mitch Goldich, Gary Grambling, and all of us coming off nice weeks with the best bets. Gary, what was your best bet record there?
3-1.
3-1, so, Mitch.
Also 3-1.
3-1 for Mitch, and a 1-0 for myself. I called it the lock of the year, game of the year, million star lock. And it kind of went as I expected.
I went to bed when it was like 45-7. Did the Rams cover?
I mean, when the Rams started with a 3-and-out and then the Ravens responded with a touchdown, I said, this is going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Jimmy, we gave you 2 units on it.
So I'll take it.
But yeah, we're okay on the season. I'm 17-11. Which is the reason I bring it up. And Gary, you're 16-11-1. Jimmy, 14-11. If we give you the 2 units, which we did promise, since you only
very nice of
bet
you
on one game last week.
Very nice of you. Yeah, I don't know. That line just went the minute I saw it last week on Tuesday, -3 for the Ravens. I don't know. I was surprised how many people still thought the Rams were good going into that game, but that's clearly changed. I'll give you a little tease before we start breaking down every game. The Ravens opened as 4-point favorites against the Niners this week. The line went to 6, and the Rams were 4-point favorites against Arizona. Then that line went down to 3. So there's your reaction off of the Monday night blowout. We're posting early this week with Thanksgiving on Thursday. We're going to do something rare. We're doing every game. Usually we don't do the Thursday night game. But we are doing every game, no buys this week either. So we have a full slate, 3 games on Thanksgiving as always. And then the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock primetime, we're going to do it all for you right now. And we're going to kick it off with a rough one. I mean, you really, really have to hate your family to be locked in on Bears Lions with Mitch Trubisky and Jeff Driscoll at 12:30 on Thursday. So I'll be in the Barca Lounge watching, but I don't know about everyone else. But boy, oh boy, this is the avoid the family game, and it's ugly. Bears -2.5 in Detroit, the traditional Lions Thanksgiving game. Total here, very low, 39. Gary, kick it off.
I'd go Bears. I think Bears are in that phase where they're going to beat up on bad teams, and that's about all they'll do. And 2.5, I mean, you wouldn't call it a pick 'em here because this is the kind of game that could end up 2-0. But Jeff Driscoll's done. I mean, I don't know what happened to him by the end of the game in Washington last week. He was just, it was like Ryan Fitzpatrick on his worst day type of throws. It was like the all-time Fitzpatrick lowlight reel tribute starring Jeff Driscoll, and it was a mess. So, yeah, I'll take the Bears. I might even best bet the Bears, depending on how the show goes.
All right, Mitch.
Yeah, Gary, I agree with you on a lot of that. I mean, I agree with both of you. I mean, it's a terrible game. Really, I think it's a bad week. A lot of the games, I feel like there are 3 good games this week, and then just a bunch of games that I don't have too much interest in watching. But, man, the Lions have really fallen apart. Remember, they were 2-0-1, and people were talking about them being a surprise and possibly being a wild card contender, and they are 1-6 since. So some of that Stafford being out, some of it obviously started before he got hurt. I haven't liked the Bears all year. I still don't like them, but I agree. You know, I do think they're the better team. And I think you just have to go with the Bears. This will not be a best bet for me, but let me give you one stat here. Let me pull it up real fast. So this is Joe Osborne from Odd Shark, who an important reminder for this Thanksgiving slate. NFL favorites covering the spread in Thanksgiving is a longstanding tradition. Since 2005, favorites are 30-11 against the spread. Going back to 1984, they're 53-29. So apparently, if you've been betting favorites, that's your Thanksgiving tradition, is to bet favorites. You've been cleaning up. Not that that's a rule I'm going to follow for all 3 games, but I am going to take the Bears -2.5 here.
I like the Bears, too. I just, you know, Gary said it all, Jeff Driscoll. I mean, what else is there to say? The Bear defense is not – wasn't – like last year with Khalil Mack just dominating every single week, but they're still good enough where I just can't see the Lions doing much on offense here. But, you know, who knows? To me, it's not a game I'm going to invest in. Second game on Thanksgiving, Cowboys home after that loss to the Patriots, giving a touchdown to the incoming Buffalo Bills. The total here is 45. Mitch?
So the line 7, I think this is too many points. I know everyone loves to bet the Cowboys, and probably a lot of casual fans want to bet the Cowboys on Thanksgiving and watch this game. But the Bills have been good. I think they've been underrated. And, you know, their record is good, and we've talked about it being inflated because they've beaten up on some bad teams. But I also think that against a good team, they can keep the score within a touchdown. You know, their lines have been interesting. We've been talking about this all year, that when they play these really bad teams, you can't – the Bills just aren't a team that you expect to blow anybody out. So it feels like when they're the favorite, the spread is low, or I pick against them. But the Cowboys, they've been underwhelming. They, you know, they had chances against the Patriots, but that was just an ugly game. And I still like the Bills' D. I think they want to be in a low-scoring game, and whether they win it or not, I think their defense can help make this that kind of game. And if they can hold Dallas to like 20, 21 points, they would probably take that. And I just think that the way their defense is playing, you know, I could see a game where Dallas runs away with it. They have enough talent, but they just haven't shown it enough this season, and they've been too inconsistent. So I think getting 7 points, I'm happy to take the Bills there.
Gary.
Yeah, I agree with Mitch that I think this is too many points. I also think the total is too high. I'll bet the under on this one, even though I'm never crazy about betting Thursday games. But hey, it's Thanksgiving, so why not go ahead and do it? The one thing I'll say about the Cowboys at this point, and I'm about to sort of give one positive, one negative, and help absolutely nobody out. But when we've seen Amari Cooper go against like a true number one receiver, number one cornerback. Marshawn Lattimore back in the New Orleans game, Stephon Gilmore last week, he gets taken out of the game, and there's a domino effect with that offense, with the passing game, of course, and Tre'Davious White does fall into that category of true number one cornerback for the Bills. That said, Buffalo's had some trouble stopping the run. They got steamrolled by the Browns. They got steamrolled by the Eagles in their own building. I could see this being a big game for Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys just sort of, you know, getting sort of that 17-6 type of lead and just sort of cruising in this one. But that said, I do think 7's just a few too many points. I think it's more like a 5-point spread here.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, not just 17-6, but 17-6, and Zeke is in the Salvation Army bucket on the field, and they're giving you the tight shots of his celebration. Someone's going to get in the bucket, right? That's, yeah.
I disagree with both of you. I like the Cowboys here laying the touchdown. I think they get a fairly easy win here. I don't think the Buffalo offense is going to be able to hang with Dallas. I'm not a Josh Allen guy, as I've said all year. The total here, I think, is ridiculous at 45, unless the Bills' defense just collapses, which I don't see. But I love the Cowboys, and I love the under in this game. Thanksgiving night wraps up. I hate when they do this. These teams played 2 weeks ago, and now they're playing again. Saints giving a touchdown to the Falcons in Atlanta 2 weeks ago. Atlanta gave New Orleans that shocking loss in the Superdome. Saints -7 in Atlanta, total 49, Gary.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure out the Falcons. We've all proclaimed Dan Quinn dead man walking again, so they probably will win this game 56-3. Look, they manhandled the Saints a couple weeks ago. Saints are more banged up on the offensive line now. We'll see if Marshawn Lattimore goes on Thursday, but I guess just logically, I'd go with Atlanta here. And look, when these teams played last year on Thanksgiving, I remember that was an incredibly strange game where the Falcons lost multiple fumbles at the end of long passing plays, like near the Saints goal line, and that's why that game is sort of tilted in that way. But this is a tough one to call, just because the Falcons are so volatile. But I will take the points and lean Atlanta here.
Mitch.
Yeah, so the Falcons, they are volatile, but the thing about it is, really, you look back, it was two good games. Like, I think a lot of times that's true if there's a team that's back and forth, like, all year, and you don't know which one's going to show up, how good they're going to be. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe the Colts this season are a good example, or the Titans, or I guess anyone in the AFC South. You know, I like the Saints here. This is one of those, there are all these cliches about, like, it's hard to beat a team twice in 4 weeks, or with division teams, it's hard to beat a team three times in the same season, and you hear that come up whenever it's convenient. But I think that's not always true, but I think it is true when one team is just clearly better than the other team. Like, I think in these division games and rivalry games, there's always a risk for an upset, either home or away. But for the worst team to beat the better team, they need a lot to go right. And it's hard for that to happen twice in such short order. And so, you know, you got to think the Saints are going to be looking at that tape, and they've both teams will. But you think that they're going to learn some things from what went wrong, where the Falcons' pass rush was basically dormant the whole season and then woke up that game. And so I just trust that the Saints are a good enough team. They're going to figure it out. And I like them. I think they're, you know, are the Saints – they're in that top three. The NFC we thought was really deep, and now it's looking like it's not quite as deep as we thought it was, but it's still very top heavy, and they're right up there in the top of the NFC class. So I just think they're a better team. They're going to win, and I don't mind giving up the 7 points. I think they're also a team that's going to be out to prove something, and they're not going to want to let it stay close. I think that, you know, sometimes you worry about a backdoor cover, but I think that's a situation where they'd probably enjoy running the score up if they can. So I think I like New Orleans there -7.
You know, I like the Saints for revenge factor, but I don't really love the game at all, especially after they played 2 weeks ago. Like Gary said, you know, who knows what to think about the Falcons. So to me, it's a tough game to predict. I'm just going to enjoy my Cowboys -7 win, and then I'll lay low Thursday night and go in for the leftovers and forget the betting. All right, let's go to Sunday. We got to move it along here. We got a ton of games here. Sunday at 1 o'clock, Panthers. At 5-6, desperate here, given 10 points to the Redskins, who got a win last week against the Lions in Washington. Panthers, 10-point favorites, total 40, Mitch.
Yeah, this is another gross game. I wonder if this just happens now that we've got all 32 teams playing and 16 games, and teams are out of it, if we're just going to see more and more gross games every week. But this is another one, man. So I've been on the Panthers all year, which was very nice in October and has not been as fun since. You know, they could have beaten the Saints last week. They were in that game to the very end, but it's hard to imagine the Panthers beating anybody by 10 right now, you know, or at least being favored by that much. The Redskins, they're not good, and I don't have any faith in Dwayne Haskins this year, but they did just get a win. So this is one where it's like, you know, if the Panthers were playing the way they were a month ago, I probably would have gone for it. But I think 10 is too much. I do expect them to win. This is not going to be a best bet situation for me, but I think you got to go Washington +10 at that number.
Gary?
Yeah, I put Washington and Miami in the same class of sub-NFL teams. I think Carolina can cover this number -10. I'll just throw out the betting system here. Home favorites who have lost 4 or 5 of their past 6 but still have a winning percentage between 45 and 55%. They are 24-5 against the spread over the last 5 seasons. Again, I think Washington is just outclassed even by a mediocre Carolina team, and they're going to go on the road, and they're not going to score points.
Yeah, I love the Panthers here. Don't get fooled by one Redskin win against Jeff Driscoll that they barely got. I mean, they got on a field goal in overtime. It wasn't like, you know, I think the Panthers are just way too talented to not blow out the Redskins here at home. 5-6, season on, you know, they need a – they listen, they're going to get the win. It's a matter of whether they get the cover. I'll take my chances there on laying the 10 at home. The Red Hot Jets go into Cincinnati. Speaking of Red, Andy Dalton back at quarterback. That was not planned, that pathetic joke. Dalton back in under center for the Bengals. Jets, 3.5-point road favorites here. Total 40.5. Gary.
You know, the Dalton factor makes me lean the Bengals here. I think Ryan Finley, and I have no problem with the Bengals playing Ryan Finley. It was worth throwing him out there. He's a 6-year player in college who played in a bunch of pro-style systems. Might as well see if he can accidentally play in the NFL. He turns out cannot. So go back to Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a better quarterback. They save the locker room. The defense has played. The defense has been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. I think they hang around in this one. Don't feel great about it, but I lean Cincinnati here.
Mitch?
Gary, I disagree with you. I looked at this one, and the Bengals are so bad, and they're winless. They're going to Dalton now. The conspiracy theory is that they've basically locked up the number one pick, and now they're just trying to avoid the 0-16 season, which seems very plausible. But they've just – I know that they were in the last couple games and only lost by a touchdown, but the Jets, they've won 3 games in a row. Those were – so they beat the Giants and the Redskins, and everyone said, okay, you know, show me against a good team. They didn't just beat the Raiders. They beat them 34-3. So I don't want to overreact to one game, but we did expect, we've talked about this all year, that the Jets are, you know, could be in that like average team group, but their schedule was really tough at the beginning of the year, and then they have all these cupcake games at the end, and we still, even when they were at their lowest point of the season, we still thought they could get to 5, 6, 7 wins. Now they're showing it. So I don't think I'm overreacting to one game. I think they're playing like we thought they would before the season, and if they're going to be a 6-10, 7-9 talent level team against a team that's going to go 1-15 or worse maybe, you know, 3.5 points is just a small spread. It surprised me to see that the Bengals would be underdogs against anyone by anything less than, you know, 6.5, 7 points. So I like the Jets a lot in this game.
It's interesting here because the Jets play the Dolphins next week. So they're thinking, okay, you know, two crap teams here with the Bengals and Dolphins, get ourselves in the playoff. And then they play the Ravens the week after that. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, with the Bengals and Dolphins here, I think the Jets are probably putting playoffs in their head big time. I'm not sure, though. I think this could be a little bit of a trap here with Dalton returning. I would take the Bengals at home -3.5. I don't love the game, but if I had a lean, I would go that way. Like Gary said, the defense plays. So it'd be interesting if Andy Dalton, you know, maybe it's going to be his last couple of weeks here as a Bengal, most likely.
There's the, you know, pulls yeah, one out, you know, a little Andy Dalton celebration, yeah. Farewell tour.
Yeah.
We'll see what gift the Jets present him with before this game.
Right. But, you know. Don't get crazy about the Jets blowing out the Raiders there. I think, you know, there's a little overreaction. Next game, interesting battle here. The Colts at home giving 2.5 points to the Titans. Big division matchup here. Total 43.5, Mitch.
Okay, AFC South, I will throw my hands up and say I'm wrong. I think I've been wrong about the Titans every single week the whole season. I don't know if that's possible. I've been low on them, and they've won a few games that surprised me. The Colts, I've also been kind of low. For me, it's just been impossible to know what any of these teams are. I still think the Texans are the best team. I know they laid an egg 2 weeks ago and then rebounded quickly with a win on Thursday night, but it's just hard to know where any of these teams stand in the AFC South. But I will acknowledge that I have been impressed by Ryan Tannehill. He has been much better than I thought he would be. I think I saw the stat. Was he the first Titans QB with 2 rushing touchdowns since Vince Young? There might have been another qualifier.
He looked like Vince Young on one of them where he went
a passing touchdown, but yeah.
Flying into the end zone.
It's just funny that, you know, just, you know, great stat. Honestly, nothing would surprise me in this game or even this division the rest of the way. But I think these teams are both probably going to finish like 8-8, 9-7. I don't know. I think that I lean the Titans. The one thing, if you want a real piece of analysis, I will say I like that it's 2.5 instead of 3. I have been banging the drum all year talking that I have no faith in Adam Vinatieri. So even if you do think that the Colts could win this game by a field goal, there's always the possibility that he yaks an extra point and a 3-point win turns into a 2-point win, turns into a Titans cover. So I do think the Titans can win the game outright. I like that little point there, the possibility of a Vinatieri miss. So I'm going to – this is not a best bet at all, but I will – I'll go Titans +2.5.
Gary?
I really like both these teams. Look, the Colts on Thursday night would have won that game if T.Y. Hilton didn't play the worst game of his life. Secretly, if you watch the All-22 film, you will see Malik Hooker play as poorly as any safety has played in the game all year. And they were still right there in that game. They still had a chance to win that game. I think they're the best team in that division. I think playing at home, they shouldn't be giving less than a field goal to anyone. That said, like, you know, I do think the Titans are a good team. I would lean the Colts here, probably not best bet wise, but especially since the Colts play everyone close no matter what. But I think the Colts are the better team, and I think they should be given more like 3.5, 4 points in this one.
I like the Titans only because I feel like these teams always play weird games. Weird finishes. Things are never the way you expect them to go. You know, I wish you were getting 3 here with the Titans. I don't know. I see the Titans coming out with a road win here. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but like, I think the Ryan Tannehill thing is real. Like, you know, he's been playing really well for them, much better than Mariota, obviously. But maybe, you know, the rebirth here. This could be like the stamp here on like the Ryan Tannehill is actually not terrible game. This could be it right here. I mean, I don't love the Colts. I just don't. I feel like, you know, when you believe in them, they don't win. And I don't know. These teams are weird. They're hard to predict. So that's why I would go Titans just for that reason. Best game of the day, Sunday, 1 o'clock. too bad it can't get flexed. The Ravens, everyone's darlings, the team everybody wants to watch now, giving 6 at home to the Niners, who come off that, I mean, they destroyed the Packers on Sunday night. I mean, the score is actually, the blowout doesn't even indicate how much San Francisco kicked their ass. That was a vicious beating that the Niners gave the Packers on Sunday night. So this is a phenomenal, phenomenal matchup on Sunday at 1 here. Ravens minus 6. The total is 46. Gary.
Man, I don't know. I'll lean Baltimore. I mean, both these teams, to me, they're the most complete teams in the league. They're the best teams in the league. Ravens short week, 49ers going across the country. I will lean Ravens here just because I think that's a really I think you got to see that offense before you can possibly be prepared for it at this point, because it's so fast and you don't see anything like it in the NFL. And I think for that reason, I'll lean Baltimore, but this is tough.
Mitch?
Yeah, so I think I said last week I'm just going to pick Baltimore every week until they give me a reason not to. And obviously last night or whatever night you're listening to this, it was Monday night. You know, they not only backed up everything that I said, but let me dig in and feel even more strongly about it. That said, you know, if you watched Sunday Night Football, you might have come away from that thinking the Niners were the best team in the league. And then Monday night, you feel that same way about Baltimore. Everyone's talking about if this is a Super Bowl preview, which it could be. And, you know, that would be a fun Super Bowl. I think this is going to be a fun game. I've bet against San Francisco a couple times, actually, in my best bets on this podcast. I was smart to avoid doing that last week, even though I think earlier in the show I did say that I liked Green Bay plus 3.5. So oops on that one, but it was not a best bet for me. But I just, you know, and I was doing my research. I think that this line moved like this morning on the app that we use to keep track. I wrote it down as -4 this morning, and then I guess they updated it after that to -6. But I'm going to take the Ravens. They're so good. It's awesome to watch San Francisco's defense. I'm excited to see if they can slow Jackson down. But, you know, Lamar Jackson already passed his test with flying colors against New England, and now he gets the other of the two best defenses in the league. So it's going to be fun to watch. But I'm just going to pick him until I see him get slowed down. So give me the Ravens here.
I like the Niners. I think 6 is a lot, and I think I'm a big believer in their defense. Lamar Jackson's not going to be able to do what he did against the Rams. The Niner defense, I was so impressed with what they did against the Packers on Sunday night. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is not Lamar Jackson when it comes to being able to move around, but there's got to be some sort of regression at some point. I mean, listen, 6 possessions, 6 touchdowns against the Rams there. That's not going to happen. I like the Niners just because of the points and they're getting healthier, which is big for them on offense. They had Kittle out. Now he's back. And now the running back, I think it's going to be back. So I'll take the 6 there. Next game, a big Florida battle here. The Bucs visit the Jaguars. Total is 49. The Jaguars are a 1-point favorite. So it's Jacksonville -1 against the Bucs. Total 49. I saw a stat. I forgot the exact. I think the Bucs games have gone over like 7 in a row or something like that. Points of plenty when Tampa Bay plays. This total is 49 against the Jaguars, who haven't been able to do anything on offense lately. So see what happens there. Mitch, what do you got on this?
Well, you're sarcastically calling it a big Florida battle. They are the two best teams in Florida now, if you can believe that. I'm going to take the Jaguars, and I'm just going to not spend that much time thinking about it. I got burned by the Bucs last week, and that's fine. Good Jameis does show up sometimes. He still throws picks even when he's good Jameis, by the way. But that's fine. I've been against Tampa all year, and I feel fine with it that if I just pick against them every single week, I'm going to get burnt a couple of times, but I'm going to live with it, and I'm going to win more than I lose betting against them. I know the Jags have been bad the last 3 weeks. 2 of them were with Nick Foles back in the lineup. But that, you know, the Buccaneers' pass defense is terrible. I think this is a good spot for him to get right and, get a connection with those receivers again. So, the Bucs are going to surprise me a couple more times this season. I'm comfortable with that. But just give me the Jaguars -1.
Gary?
What did we say, 49 for the total
here?
Yeah,
49.
Yeah, I do like that over. And I like the Bucs here. I mean, look, I just think Jacksonville's no good. I've thought that for a while. They stuck around for a little while. I don't think the Bucs are very good either, but I think the Bucs have at least, I don't know, some semblance of talent left on that roster. So yeah, I'll lean Bucks here, but I like the over much more than the side.
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. The Jaguars are one of these teams that like I don't like to watch or bet. I thought Foles would give them a little bit of a lift, but that has not happened. So this is a big stay away. And the Buccaneers have now gone over the total in nine straight games. So over 49 here would make it 10. Next game, the Eagles go into Miami, the other Florida team. Eagles -9, total here 46. Eagles are desperate for a win. They're laying the 9 here on the road against the Dolphins. Gary?
I like the Eagles quite a bit. I know the number's big. I know what their passing games will look like. They're supposedly getting Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor back. And while you wonder if the last couple weeks will have a long-term effect on Carson Wentz, one thing you'll see, and you'll see it from you know, not your typical Twitter loudmouth, but dudes who actually know that offense, sort of break down the game, is their receivers are not only unable to separate, they don't get to the right spots. You know, whether it's Arcega Whiteside running a terrible route on that one fourth down or whatever it might be. At least with Agholor and Jeffrey, Wentz will know where they're going to
be.
And
then Agholor will just drop it.
And Agholor will drop it as soon as he has it. But I don't think it'll come down to a game winner, so Agholor won't drop it. So, but he'll catch that one that'll put him up 24 in the fourth quarter. But again, I think Miami and Washington are sub-NFL teams. I think the Eagles get right and get a significant win down there in Miami.
Mitch?
Yeah, Gary, I feel very similar to you on the Eagles, and just as important as the wide receivers, they should get Lane Johnson back. Their offensive line, it's sort of gone as the O-line has gone this season in a lot of games. They're also hoping to have Brandon Brooks back, who started last week. This was, I think a lot of people saw this story about, he's been very public about his battles with anxiety throughout his career, and then he had to leave the game in the middle. So if they add Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks back to their offensive line, that makes a huge difference. You talked about Twitter hot takers and the blame on the receivers. Dan Orlovsky had a great Twitter video, if you saw that, where he was breaking down the Eagles receivers being in the wrong spot and how a lot of people are blaming Wentz, but really it looks like the receivers, I mean, and we know this, they're just not giving him any help. But then, unfortunately for him, he now has a bruised throwing hand, so when the people around him finally get healthy, it looks like he's now dealing with an injury, which has to be frustrating for him. All that to say, 9 is a big number. The pick I actually like, I like the under 46 in this game. The Dolphins, like you said, they're no good, and it's going to be really hard for them to score points against this Eagles defense, which, say what you want about the offense, which has been banged up and really struggling, but the Eagles defense has really come to play, and they're looking very good. I think they're going to be really strong down the stretch against that weak schedule. So I do like the Eagles to win. I don't know if they're going to cover, but I just think they're good. You know, their offense is not going to explode for 35 points, given what we've seen from them the last month. So I think if their defense comes to play, if they avoid anything goofy like a special teams or a defensive touchdown, I feel pretty good about them winning. And the under 46, I feel even better about.
I don't know how you can, in good conscience, ever put your money on the Dolphins right now. I mean, I bet them. I gave them out a couple of weeks ago against the Bills. They got embarrassed. You know, last week against the Browns, rough game for them. The Eagles could not possibly lack more firepower than they do right now. Obviously, you guys said Jeffrey and Agholor come back. I mean, what they were playing with last week was just the height of ineptness. But I just can't see the Dolphins keeping up with the Eagles. I just can't. So there's just no way you got to go Philly -9 here, I think. Next game, speaking of inept, the Giants are at home. They are 6.5-point underdogs. The Packers come in as favorites here. Total 46. Packers after that Sunday night beating in San Francisco. So the Green Bay went all the way to San Fran to get killed, and now they go all the way to New York. They will have a much easier time, though, I think, in New Jersey on Sunday. Packers -6.5, total 46 against the Giants. Mitch?
Yeah, I like Green Bay a lot. I just think we saw what happened to them, but they're so much better than the Giants, and I was surprised this line was under a touchdown. You know, after they got totally embarrassed, you've got to think that they're going to be on a mission to just prove that they're actually good and that they belong, you know, in that upper tier of NFC teams. They before the loss to San Francisco, they had two other losses. They lost to Philly, and then the next week they got up 31-3 on Dallas and kind of coasted and won by 10. Then they had that awful game against the Chargers out in L.A. They came home and they beat the Panthers in that game in the snow by 8. The Giants are really bad. They've lost 7 games in a row. I just think – I said this about someone else. This is another one. Sometimes with bigger spreads, I worry about a backdoor cover. But I think that a team looks like they are, you know, in the mood to blow somebody out, and they're going to keep the foot on the gas the entire game and not give up that backdoor cover. I just think that the Packers are going to come into this game totally on a mission and looking to go the full 60 minutes. So with the spread under a touchdown, I'm happy to take Green Bay minus 6.5.
Gary?
No, I agree with pretty much everything Mitch said. If you wanted to find the team that was like the anti-49ers as far as the pass rush goes, the Giants are in that conversation. I think the Packers have a chance to get right, and they take that opportunity, and not to mention that there's going to be some negative Nellies in the Meadowlands this week, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Or just Packers fans there. But we saw the Raiders fans took over when the Jets had a home game this week. It might just be the Green Bay fans do the same at MetLife this week.
Yeah, Pat Shermer, not exactly a popular figure here in New York. And I think it will get ugly on Sunday. I love the Packers here as well. Big bounce back effort. They're not as bad as they were against the Niners. And the Giant defense is not even in the same league as the Niner defense. So I think Aaron Rodgers here turns it around. The next game we got is, again, this took place 2 weeks ago and was filled, obviously, with complete anarchy. It was the Myles Garrett game. So now we get these two teams playing again. This time it is in Pittsburgh. The Browns go into Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. The Browns are 1.5-point favorites. The total is 40. Mason Rudolph benched. Devlin Hodges in. Phenomenal quote of the week by Mike Tomlin on why Devlin Hodges over Mason Rudolph. Quote, he has not killed us, end quote. So
that's what you
what
want.
What a vote of confidence. But the Browns are playing a little better, albeit check the competition there. And league expects this game to get chippy after the Myles Garrett incident. So who knows what's going to happen here. Definitely a lot to keep an eye on. Browns minus 1.5, total 40, Gary.
I very much like the playoff-bound Cleveland Browns here. I just want to – I won't deep dive it, but they're going to end up with 8 wins in the conference. So they're going to win a tiebreaker against any of these other 6-5, 5-6 teams. So and they have more wins on the board available for them, including this one. Look, the Steelers' path to victory, as it has been since Roethlisberger went down, is – get 6 takeaways and score touchdowns off of 2 of them and then, you know, punt. The Browns certainly have that implosion potential, but no, you can't bank on that. I mean, this is – I'm not even buying into anything like, oh, the Browns are going to be so fired up after the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Just the Steelers can't score points, move right. The ball. I mean, that's what it – boils down to. So is Minka Fitzpatrick going to score 3 touchdowns? Probably not. So I'll go with the Browns.
Mitch?
Yeah, and also, aren't both teams going to be fired up equally? Even though it's really weird that neither Myles Garrett nor Mason Rudolph will be on the field. Like, I'm sure that everyone, they're, you know, it's going to get chippy, but it's just like a weird, I don't know, it's a very weird situation. I'm with you on a lot of that. I like the Browns, and I like how their late season schedule lines up. They are totally in this playoff race. I may have said this last week, too. I'm really impressed with Kareem Hunt and what they've done mixing him into the offense. I thought potentially, you know, we wait all season to see him come back and what his role would be, and I thought it might be a little strange if they feel obligated to give him carries and take away from Nick Chubb, who was so good at the beginning of the year. But the way that they've used him as a receiving threat and sometimes having both of them on the field at the same time, and even like we've seen montages of him blocking for Chubb, it's been really good. And they have a you know, their offense is playing much better. The Steelers' defense, I know, is the strength of the team. But again, it's like, you know, Devlin Hodges. It's just such a strange game. Looking at these teams, but yeah, you know, the Browns just beat them. We talked about this with the Falcons Saints game about sometimes tough for a team to win twice in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. But I do. I like Cleveland. They're the favorites here for a reason, and I think they're going to win this game. So you know, I'll take them -1.5.
I like the Steelers. I think it's tough to try to beat a team twice within 2 weeks. I think Devlin Hodges is actually better than Mason Rudolph, who played in that last game. Yes, Cleveland has turned their season around a little bit. Last week it was the Dolphins. 2 weeks ago, the Bills. 2 weeks ago was the Steelers with Mason Rudolph. 3 weeks ago, the Bills. Not enormously impressive there. I don't think that's enough to get me back on the Cleveland bandwagon. So Steelers at home after getting embarrassed by Cleveland 2 weeks ago. And I like the change of Devlin Hodges in there. He led that comeback against the Bengals last week after they benched Mason Rudolph. So
against who, Jimmy?
The Bengals.
Yeah.
Oh, but Mason Rudolph can get the job done. That's my point. So, yeah. I like the Steelers there. I like going against you guys on that one. All right, that wraps up. We covered Thanksgiving. We covered Sunday at 1. We will now cover 4:00 and the primetime games right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. First game at 4:00, the Rams, beaten up, embarrassed on Monday night, go into Arizona giving a field goal to the Cardinals. Total here is 47.5, Mitch.
Yeah, it's been a weird season for Arizona. Just looking at their schedule, so they tied in week 1, and then they lost 3 in a row, won 3 in a row, lost 4 in a row. So you look at them and you think they're down, but that streak, they played the Saints, and then they lost to the Niners twice in a short amount of time. But I like Arizona. They've been sort of fun and frisky and competitive for a lot of the season, and they've been pretty decent at home. They're now coming back home after they had a bye week last week, and then they played 4 road games in 5 weeks before that. So they just haven't been at home much. This line was originally 4, went down to 3 after what we saw from the Rams on Monday night. But I think they can cover 3 points at home. They don't even have to win the game. I think they could win it outright. But this is a game where I think that they can keep it close, because I just think the Rams are just no good. They're a bit pretty much done. I mean, I know they're in their locker room. They have a lot of the proud veterans who are going to talk about, you know, they're 6-5 and they're in the playoff hunt and they have experience. But realistically, we know they have no shot in the division because San Francisco and Seattle are so far ahead. And even in the wild card, they're 2 games out of the hunt there. And I just think they are not as good as their record has looked. So, you know, they're going to be playing for it. And inside the locker room, they expect that they're still in the hunt. But I just don't think that they are. I don't think they're that good. And so I'm happy to take the Cardinals here getting a field goal at home.
Gary?
I'll lean Rams. I had considered this a toss-up when it dropped down to 3. I figure I might as well lean Rams. I really like the under. I don't understand how the Rams are going to score points. I don't really think the Cardinals are going to score points. I don't like either of these teams. I think this is a crappy game. The one thing that gives me hesitation is the fact that the Rams defense just completely laid down on Monday night. That said, it's Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray looks like he's moving in slow motion compared to Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I don't know. This is one of the remaining potential victories on the Rams schedule. I think they'll go down and get this, but mostly I just like this one being like a 20-17 type of game.
I like Arizona getting the field goal at home. I'm off the Rams bandwagon. I've been off it for a while. Terrible losses the last few weeks at Pittsburgh against Mason Rudolph. Against the Bears, they had a really do everything they could to hang in that. I don't see their offense doing anything. I agree with Gary that 47 is high, but I can see Arizona putting up some points here. The Arizona offense is it's a little, you know, they're averaging, I think, like 22 points a game. I don't know. I'm not impressed, but the Ram defense, I think Arizona puts up enough points where the Rams, I mean, Todd Gurley, what is going on there? You know, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, just not weapons that scare anybody. I like Arizona at home getting a field goal. Next 4:00 game, Chiefs at home giving 10 to the Raiders. Total here is 51. Gary?
Yeah, I kind of like the Chiefs to sort of take off here. I think the bye week, I'm not a huge bye week guy, except for certain teams. I think the bye week just came at a perfect time for them. I mean, they get their offensive line healthy again. Tyreek Hill sounds like he's going to be back. I think you're going to see what they were a year ago, and they have just done whatever they wanted to the Raiders every time they've met in the Patrick Mahomes era. So the 10 doesn't scare me. I think they run up a big score here, and I think the Raiders are ready to look forward to Las Vegas and give them a nice pat on the back for an overachieving season.
Mitch,
you're doing anything to give the Browns that last wild card spot, and if it means you got to sandbag the Raiders.
Colts, Texans, all you guys, Titans, just take the rest of the season off. Browns are going to the playoffs.
Yeah. I've been on the Chiefs all year as well, but I just, you know, the Raiders, they have to bounce back, right? That was such a pathetic game to lose 34-3 against the Jets. We talked last week about how that Raiders-Jets game might be a trap game and a look-ahead game because the Raiders would be looking forward to this Chiefs game. So it would then be a shame for them to get blown out against the Jets and then come and lose by double digits in this big game at Kansas City. I don't know if they're going to come in and fold. I will say I think they're going to have to run the ball more. Josh Jacobs last week, 10 carries for 34 yards, which was, I think, his worst game of the season. So I think they're going to make an effort to get him the ball more. And we've seen the Chiefs, we know about their offense, but their ability to defend the run. It wouldn't surprise me if Jacobs goes off for a big game. You mentioned Tyreek Hill hopefully coming back. But again, a lot of times if you rush a guy back from a hamstring injury, you always worry about him pulling up again and maybe re-injuring it if he tries to come back before he's ready. So I like the Chiefs. Again, nothing would surprise me in this game, but I just think that's too many. The Raiders have been a decent team in the AFC all year, and I think you've got to expect that in a big divisional game like this, they would at least keep it to single digits.
I like the over here. The Chiefs defense has played better, but I'm still not on that bandwagon. Raiders embarrassed last week, just 3 points against the Jets. I think they turn it around and put some points on the board, but I don't think they stop Patrick Mahomes at all. So I like the over 51 here a lot. Last 4 o'clock game of the day, the Chargers go into Denver. Chargers 2.5-point favorites. Total here is 38.5, Mitch.
These are two teams I think I've spent all season either picking against them or just avoiding them. I think this is the game that I have the least interest in this week, which is saying something considering some of these we've looked at. I never have any idea when the Broncos are going to show up or which version of them we're going to see. A lot of times I feel similarly about the Chargers. So this is like the classic bury a 4 o'clock game, which it'll be kind of annoying every time Red Zone cuts to it. Otherwise, you'll forget that the game's even on. I don't feel too strongly about this, but I think if I have to make a pick, I would lean Chargers -2.5. But Gary, I'm happy to give the floor to you because for me, there's just not much to say here.
No, I
don't have a lot to add.
The Broncos under has been good to me this year, and I think I'm going to go back to the well this week and take the under in this game. They are 9-0 under against AFC West opponents over the last 2 years. I guess I could see a scenario where the Chargers keep the pass rush off Phillip Rivers just enough for him to get a little bit going against this Denver defense. But I think it's going to be such an ugly game, and it's probably going to come down to a late drive and a field goal or something like that. And it's almost a coin flip, but I'll just say, since it's less than a field goal, I'll just go Chargers.
I have my personal policy where I don't bet Chargers games anymore, so I don't have anything to say about that game. I mean, I like the Chargers, but again, I've been burned too many times. All right, Sunday night, NBC. The Patriots go into Houston to face the Texans. Patriots 3-point road favorites. Total here, 44.5, Gary.
Yeah, this is interesting. And I wonder if the Patriots' offensive struggles the last 2 weeks have been a little bit having to do with the bad elements and obviously a couple of good defenses they played in the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I wonder if they can kind of get right a little bit against the Texans here. I will put out the stat here. Texans 0-8 against the spread against opponents with winning records in the second half of the season over the last 3 years. I do think the Texans really, really got away with one on Thursday night against the Colts. I thought they were outplayed once again by the Colts in that game. I will lean New England here somewhat heavily.
Mitch?
Yeah, it's a little bit scary just picturing that last 2 minutes of the game, and the cameras are going back and forth between Belichick and Bill O'Brien, and you know, imagining having your money on the Texans here as they're cutting across and they're showing him trying to figure things out. But I lean Texans because, you know, I feel like we've been waiting all year for it to kind of catch up to the Patriots. Like you said, you know, they had issues on offense the last 2 weeks. I just don't think you can count on that offense to show up often enough for the Patriots to finish 15-1. Like, they, you know, they're clearly a good team. Obviously, they're a great defense, and not surprising to see them finish the year 12-4, 13-3, whatever. But at this point, you just look up and it's like, how are they 10-1 already with only the loss to the Ravens? But, you know, I just, it's so hard. It's like you sound stupid every week trying to look for reasons to expect the Patriots to lose or at least not cover or whatever. But I just think at some point their offensive issues are going to catch up to them. I did like a lot of what I saw from Will Fuller last week. He was back and was just a huge part of the Texans' offense. 11 targets, 7 catches, 140 yards. So this is probably a stay away from me because I wouldn't want to actually bet against New England. But if you make me pick a side for like a weekly pick'em thing, I think I lean Texans -3.
If I'm only laying a field goal in a Bill Belichick versus Bill O'Brien matchup, I will gladly sweep that up every single time. That's a big coaching mismatch right there. Like the Patriots, -3. Their defense is just, I don't know how Belichick does it, but he knows how to shut down every offense they have to play. I don't see the Patriot offense, though, getting right. I think their struggles are legit, but their defense, I just, again, you know, he will figure out a way to shut down Hopkins, and I think the Patriots here just laying the field goal get the win. Monday night, we wrap it all up in Seattle. The Seahawks, 3-point favorites at home. The Vikings come in. Good matchup here on Monday night. Seattle -3 against Minnesota. The total here is 49, Mitch.
Yeah, these are two teams I like and two teams that all season I've thought are better than people have given them credit for. Obviously, the Seahawks have been getting a lot more credit after their big win against San Francisco. But two good teams. They're both playoff teams. Part of the reason why I said, you know, goodbye to the Rams, because I don't think anyone's going to catch these two. And obviously, they're not necessarily wild cards because they have a shot to win their divisions. They both do. It's primetime Kirk Cousins, which I know is a running joke, but oftentimes there's a little truth to it. It's a joke for a reason. So you have to wonder, if he's going to show up. But the Seahawks, they impressed me last week. I know it was a very ugly game against a very beaten-up Philly team, but now they're home after coming all the way east and winning a Gary Gramling body clock game with the 10 a.m. local time kickoff. And even though I do like the Vikings, I don't want to dump on them, I do just think that the Seahawks are better. They're, you know, a 3-point favorite at home basically implies that these two teams are even, and I just don't think that that's the case. I like Seattle more. And so even though, I could see them losing this game, I just think if you're picking the Vikings, it feels like you're getting a little too cute here. And I think you just look at who's home and how talented the Seahawks are and how they've played, and seeing them 3-point favorites at home, I think you have to feel good about expecting them to cover that. So
Gary,
it's a great game. Oops. Pumped to watch it. But no, that's about all. My analysis is very basic, but comes down to I just think the Seahawks are better and I'll take them.
Gary.
I'm leaning Vikings here. Seahawks at home this year. They were in a dogfight with the Bengals early on. They lost to the Saints. They needed a missed field goal from Greg Zuerlein to hang on against the Rams. They got the pants by the Ravens, and they had to go to overtime with the Bucs. They just haven't been very good at home this year. I don't feel great about Kirk Cousins. No one ever quite does, but I also don't think it's a great Seahawks defense anyway. And I talked about this a lot last week. I talked about Seahawks red zone. I talked about Seahawks fumbles. They have 14 fumble takeaways right now, which, if you had like Khalil Mack and J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, you'd say like, okay, I could do that. But the one, and I hate zeroing in on one play and being like, look at this one lucky play they got, and now I'm going to extrapolate that over the rest of this. But the one play where Rashim Green is literally on his ass and Carson Wentz just sort of doesn't realize he's there and just sort of like drops the ball into him, that's not... That's not a takeaway. I mean, that's stuff that doesn't happen, shouldn't happen. I will, even though the Seahawks just keep on winning games that I don't think they should necessarily win, and they'll probably do so again on Monday night, I will lean, based on logic, based on science, I will lean Vikings in this one.
I don't have a lean. I mean, I love the game, but I don't. I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. I think there'll be points in this game, but 49 is a high total, so I can't even give you that as an over. Great game, but not one for betting purposes for me, at least. And that puts a bow on the previews for Week 13. We've gone through it all. Every game, no buys this week. Three games Thanksgiving. Got it all covered for you. Now we will hit you with our best bets. Gary, what do you got?
I had six. I had seven. I'm actually going to back off the Jimmy. You're sad on the Bucks going over all the time. That's gonna scare me enough to back off that one. But three sides, three totals, all unders. Sides. I'm going Bears plus 2.5 in the early game.
Minus 2.5.
Minus 2.5. Sorry.
Cheater.
Bears plus 14 against Jeff Driscoll. Sorry, Bears minus 2.5. Panthers minus 10 against Washington. Browns minus 1.5 at Pittsburgh. And my three unders, Buffalo, Dallas under 45. Rams, Cardinals under 47.5. And what do we say? Chargers, Broncos under 38.5.
38.5. Lowest one on the board. And you like the under. Mitch.
All right, I'm going to do that Jets minus 3.5 against Cincinnati. Why not start off the week right, betting the Jets here? I'm going to do the Eagles, Dolphins under 46 that I talked about earlier. Give me Green Bay minus 6.5 against the Giants. I will take Arizona plus 3 against the Rams, which I wrote down as my best bet back when I thought that line was plus 4, but it's now plus 3, and I'm just going to stick with it because why not? And then I'll finish it out with the Monday night game, and I'll take the Seattle minus 3 against Minnesota.
I only have 3 for you. I like the Cowboys minus 7 on Thanksgiving. Big win against the Bills there. Panthers minus 10. I'm with Gary. I think they blow out Washington to get to 500. And I like the over 51 Raiders Chiefs Sunday 4 o'clock. All right, that wraps up week 13 on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Back in our regular spot on Friday next week. We all wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the food and the football, and we'll see you next week.